The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? At the 2024 Paris Olympics, the United States men's rowing team, the four men's rowing team, won their first gold medal since 1960. And they say that the major key to rowing is that all the rowers are in sync in every aspect. If you've ever watched it, I don't know much about rowing, but I like to watch it during the Olympics because the synchronization and the timing that it takes for all of them to be hitting the paddle at the exact same time on each side of the boat is incredible to watch. And I know this, that if you start paddling the wrong way, because I've been a part of this before, then you'll go in circles and you won't get very far. And so for them to do these amazing speeds, there's some keys to rowing that for all novice or anybody who would like to do tandem rowing, and the first part of that is a smooth and steady motion. It's not a poking and a slamming. It's not about muscles. It's not about physical fitness in that aspect, even though those guys are physically fit. It's about a smooth, steady motion. And I would say to you that our Christian walk is about trying to keep composed in a smooth, steady motion. That we don't have too many highs and that we don't have too many lows, but that we walk agreed together with God. You know, one of the things about God that I love the most is that God's not emotional. He doesn't have emotional highs and lows. God is always the same. I always tell people, you may have moved, but God never moves. And we want to be like this rowing team. Another thing that they say is that you have to have a straight back. You want to be having a straight back, not slouched over. But why they have a straight back is because they're keeping their eyes focused on the job at hand. The Bible tells us that we need to have a straight life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, that we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking for that day and looking even more as the day approaches, that we are aware and that we are looking at the things of God, staying in tandem with God. They talk about clear communication when they're in the boat, that they're talking to each other and they're making those sounds, they're making noises. And if you hear them, if they've got the volume on, you can hear them saying things. And it's kind of fun sometimes. The U.S. team beat the Dutch and beat the British team. And it's fun when you hear those people in different languages saying whatever they're saying in their language. But one thing that happened at the Paris Olympics for our U.S. national team is right when they're getting to the very end, the captain of the team begins to say, red, red, red. And that means now it's time to pick up our pace, because now we've been going in this smooth motion, but we're almost there. And so that nobody passes us, now it's time to give it all you've absolutely got to go ahead. You can exert yourself now. It's almost like in a race when you see people in distance races, they keep a smooth, steady pace. But when they get to that last 100 meters, they begin to kick, is what you call it in track, so that they can get across the line and nobody catches them. And they also can run down people. But more importantly, the U.S. team said, then the physical attributes and the physical part of rowing is the mindset that it takes to row. Establishing a positive team culture, setting clear goals. It's a team sport, but they talk about having a continued focus on individual development, because you are only as strong as your weakest rower. Responsibility and accountability are a must, they say, that when no one is around, those people need to be practicing, those people need to be exercising. When all four team members aren't together, individually, they need to be eating right, they need to be focusing on the same goal. And Christian, let me tell you today that as we look at the steps of a good man, it is vitally important that we are on the same page with God, because Jesus never fails. He's always right. And so if we keep our mind fixed on him, we keep our goals fixed on his goals, we keep our thoughts set with his thoughts, then we will never fail either. And it's a smooth, steady ride when you are stepping in step with Jesus. The Bible says here in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we do it our way, it ends up poorly. When we do it God's way, it's a blessing. But these steps are obtainable if we choose to seek them. And we see three steps here. Step number one, we see the companionship with God or the friendship with God. There in the verse, it says the steps, companionship. It means being connected to God. And so when we are in companionship, when we are connected with God, when we are literally friends with God, then that's the first step we have to take. Because we know this, it says the steps of a good man. So it's talking about saved people. Lost people can't take steps with God because they're not part of God and God's not part of them. But once we're saved, now we're supposed to live like we're saved. And so we get in this companionship, this friendship with God. And the first step, and how do we deepen that? What do we do? Psalm 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That song we sing, I trust in God, at the end, it paraphrases, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And that's what that comes from us, from that psalm. Because when we seek the Lord in companionship, he will hear us and he will deliver us, because he says, anything that you ask in my name, that will I do. James 21 and 23, Abraham, our forefather, was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. And seest how that faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham sought the Lord, and because of his faith in the Lord, he was called the friend of God. Oh, that I might be called the friend of God. Of all the things that you could be called on earth, son of God and daughters of God, but friend of God. Because, listen, you can have a son or daughter and not be friends with them. But man, the older I get and the older my kids get, they used to just be my sons and daughters, but now they're my friends. What a blessing it is. And God says, you can be my son or daughter, but you can also be my friend. We can have this companionship. And so if I were reading the version of the Bible that I'm reading, and I would change it, not changing the meaning, but changing it to the BTV, I would say the companionship of a good man, getting with God. Paul understood companionship. He understood it with men. He understood it with God. In 2 Timothy 4 and 16, Paul is about to die. And he's writing to Timothy and telling him his last testaments and will, essentially, and telling Timothy the last things he needs to do. And he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Even in Paul's dying moments, you know what he had with God? He said, my companionship, my friendship with God. Who is he seeking here? He said, no man sought to seek to stay with me, but my God strengthened me. My God stood with me. When nobody else will stand with you, God will. But then you also see that through this wording here, that God, he gives us some things, the steps of a good man. He gives us some companionship on earth. Jesus says, listen, I'm going away. But what Jesus did in going away was he established what we now call the church. He established some companionship with God's people. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, or he hath not another to help him. Because when we have companionship with other people, with God's people, God, you know, God gave us each other for friendship, for companionship, to lift one another up, to exhort one another. He did not give us the church to tear each other down. He gave us the church to lift each other up. Because we know this, iron sharpeneth iron. Companionship with God's people, but he also gives us companionship with God's word. We have the ability. Isn't it a blessing? Listen, when they were writing this back in Psalm, most people didn't have the opportunity to have the word of God in their hand. Now we have it digitally on our phone or our iPad. We have it audio. You can buy those little boxes they have on TV. One of our ladies in the nursing home can't see very well, and she has one of those little boxes, and it reads her Bible to her. And now we have the opportunity to carry a physical Bible. We live in the United States of America, praise be to God, and we can carry our Bible. Even our kids can carry their Bible into the public school, and they can't do anything about that. They don't tell you that, but you can. We can go to the street corner and preach the Bible. We can put it on big billboards on I-70 and I-75. Listen, the Word of God, God wants us to have companionship with His Word. And why? Because the Word of God does some things for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, watch, unto all good works. The steps, the companionship with God and the companionship with God's people and the companionship with God's Word help us be more like God and understand Him and what He wants out of us. We see here not only the companionship with God, but the certainty of His blessings. The word ordered in the text, see, the steps, the companionship of a good man are ordered, but it means they are certain when it's of the Lord. God makes some promises to save people, some good promises to save people. There's only one promise to people who are lost and stay lost, that they will die and perish and go to a devil's hell. But to us who are saved, God is long-suffering, right? Not willing that any should perish. And He's not slack concerning His promises with us. Even when we mess up, God said, if I promised it, then I'm going to provide it. And so there's a certainty for the good man. The steps of a good man are certain or ordered by the Lord. They're established by the Lord. It's with a certainty. And maybe most famously, we know Jeremiah wrote, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end," in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know what I think towards you, and what I want for you is success. And what God says success looks like is when you follow His promises in His companionship and do His will, that's successful. If you never achieved anything that would look successful by earthly means, but you lived your life every day for Jesus Christ, you're more successful than the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You don't need degrees on the wall. You don't need money in your bank. You don't need the status and fanfare of men. If you live and abide and are obedient to the will and the word of God, you are successful, because all the earthly rewards will perish like wood, hay, and stubble. But those things that go through the fire and make it to the other side, there will have many crowns to cast at His feet. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." God has promised you, and He can provide it. He's established, He's ordered it. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." His promises are never going away. When the word used like 1,000 in the King James Bible is used, it means it's innumerable. God's blessings will last forever. When we look at the certainty of His blessings, we understand clearly here that the steps of a good man, the absolute companionship, when we make ourselves known to God because we want to be in good relationship with God, we know that His promises, it helps us. Listen, one of the reasons why I believe God so strongly like Abraham is because I've seen God do it before, and I know that God can do it again. God has established His promises, and so what I'm praying for today, I believe God can do because I've seen Him do it before. He's established it. He's ordered it. He said, this is going to be it. Now, you know, famously, I've said many times that I only have three types of illustrations. If you've been around, you know what they are. Sports, my family, and number one, food. Amen. Food is the top of the list. Amen. It is literally the top of the food chart. Y'all see what I did there? But listen, I tell you this. One of the reasons why people like Chick-fil-A so much, not just because it's a Christian organization, is because Chick-fil-A is one of the few fast food restaurants that generally when you order, the order comes out right. You go some places and you stand in line and they almost get rude. They almost get mad at you because you sit there and you check the bag and make sure you got all your stuff because, Lord forbid, I got to pull around and get out of my car because I went through the drive-thru because I was too lazy to get out in the first place. Amen? And so now if you didn't put my delicious sauces in there or you missed some fries, you know me, I got to have that ride and fry. You know, I get one fry with my meal and then one fry to eat on the way home. You know what I mean? Because I'm eating them fries and on the way home, my fries are all gone by the time I sit down to eat my meal. So I got to get a ride and fry too. Amen. Now that's just fat, ain't it? But that's what I got to do. But watch this. I told my kids the other day, my son and his girlfriend came home and they had Arby's milkshakes, but they had, I think, Wendy's for dinner or something like that. And I said, me and my friend back in the day, we used to call that the mix. That's how I got up to 300 pounds before I started losing weight. We call that the mix. We'll go get a Big Mac from McDonald's and we would go get some curly fries from Arby's. Amen. We call that the mix. Or when we go get a Whopper from Burger King and go get them McDonald's fries. Amen. And a McFlurry to dip it in. Praise be to God and amen. I tell you, this is the importance of this illustration. It lies in this. When you go somewhere and you order something, you expect it to be the way you want it. Burger King is famously known for saying what? Have it your way. Burger King, we'll flame broil it. We'll put a rodeo burger together with an onion ring and barbecue sauce and some cheese on that boy to the glory of God. And listen, all I know is this. This is what I understand. When I order it, what I'm saying, when they say, let me repeat it back to you and it shows up on the screen, that's supposed to be the promise that what I've ordered is coming through. And when they say, would you like your receipt? Yes, ma'am, because when I get up here to this next window, I'm going to look at my receipt. And if I ain't got everything that's on the receipt in this bag, you going to walk back there and get my sweet and sour sauce. Somebody said hallelujah. But I know this about my God, that when he orders something, that you don't got to check the receipt, because the receipt came 2,000 years ago, and when his son raised up out of the grave, it was the promise and the receipt that forevermore, whatever he promises, he will provide. So I love the certainty of his blessings. And so one of the steps that we must take is that we must trust God. Amen. That we must put our faith in God, because we know that what he orders, he doesn't just offer, but he will observe. But then there's the course of his righteousness. Look there in the text. And he delighteth in his way. So a good man not only is friends with God and has companionship with God, but a good man like Abraham believes God and believes God's promises that what he orders, he's able to observe. We also know that that is this constance, this certainty. But then it says, when we understand that we can go to God because we're friends with God, when we understand that God will come through and provide because he is God, then we will delight in his way, which since just means this. The way means the course of his righteousness. We'll like following God in the way God wants to do it. Many Christians today, unfortunately, don't understand this verse, because they may want to be friends with God. I think all Christians would desire to have companionship with God, truly saved Christians. I think all Christians would love to believe that God fulfills all of his promises. But one of the things I think that maybe Christians are lacking today, and certainly maybe even folks within the sound of my voice today, is that they want all the benefits of God, but they don't want to do the behaviors of God. And we've got to be very careful when we look in our word and understand these scriptures, that we are not to follow the course of our righteousness, but the course of his righteousness. Notice what it says there. It says, delighteth in his way, not our way. Listen, the Bible isn't Burger King. It isn't about having it your way. It's about having God's way. We sing that old hymn sometimes at invitation. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Listen, when we sing that, what we're saying is, God, whatever your will is, whatever you decide, because I want your will to be done on in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. So how do we take this step? What do we do? This way, this course, it's the way or manner in which we will journey when we take pleasure in the companionship and certainty of our God. It doesn't just say that we go on the journey. Watch what it says. And delighteth in his way. We like the course that God set for us. We don't get mad. We don't say, listen, when I was a little kid, before I understood completely that salvation came by faith through grace, not of works, I thought that it was just too much work to go to heaven. I was like, man, we got to do this. Like, when I was going to a certain church as a kid, you know, that's not what they were preaching, but that's how it looked to me. I thought, man, we got to wear white gloves, and we got to take the Lord's Supper every week. We got to say the Lord's Prayer. We got to have stained glass. I got to have my mom beat me with the face of Jesus on this fan every week when I'm acting a fool. And I thought, man, it's just too much work to go to heaven. This is hard work. I was like the apostles, who then can be saved, Lord? And Jesus says, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. Amen. And we all know that for God to have saved your pastor, it had to be God made it possible. Amen. I can understand that. But I understand from this verse and this text that it's the course of his righteousness, the way that he wants us to live. And when you get far enough in your Christian life, when you get mature, see, when you first get saved, when you first start getting discipled, it's still real hard to give up your past life. It's still real hard to do it the way God wants to do it, because you still got one foot in the world and one foot in salvation, and you're really saved. But the Bible says, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And James says that a double-minded man is unbalanced in all of his ways. But we like to be able to dibble and dabble in both things. When we get saved, we're still the proverbial jack of all trades. We want to be able to hang with these people still, go to these places, do this, do that, but we still want to be able to show up to church on Sunday and Wednesday and say praise be to God and hallelujah. We want to say we're a Christian, but we want to live like the world. But this word here says that we need to follow his way. Amen. I said at the beginning, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but that leads to death. And I know a lot of Christians who are trying to live like the world instead of living like Christians, and it's caused them lots of problems. Amen. Christians who say, oh, I love my wife, but they're looking at somebody else. Yeah. Christians who say, oh, I love my God. They sing on Sunday morning, every praise is to our God. And as soon as they get home that night, they're looking at pornographies. Christians who say, I love my God, and they're singing all the songs, oh, God of revival. And then on Tuesday, when they get home, they're drinking and drugging and thugging. People that, I tell you, there's so many folks in our world, our culture, they want God, but they only want God for what God can do. They don't want God for what they can do for God. And the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Listen, when I'm looking for the Lord and the way that I'm trying to follow, when I delighteth in the Lord, I'm going to be like that psalm. I'm looking to God and say, God, will this please you? God, is this good to you? Oh, listen, you know, intent only matters to the person it's intended to. My wife, she don't like flowers. And so if I would go and bring her flowers home every day, she would say thank you, but it wouldn't mean much to her, because the intent behind it, that would be a selfish intent of mine, say, I'm going to get you some flowers, but it's not what she likes. Well, my wife likes caramello bars. So instead of flowers, I go to the dollar store, and I get her 5 or 6 caramellos, and the people in line looking at me, and they see this chubby little pastor, and they say, you really like caramellos. And I say, believe it or not, this is for my 95-pound wife. She likes those. Yeah, my face. You know what I mean? They always say that kind of stuff like that, right? But I know this much. I know this. God is the intended for our righteousness, because he imputed his son's righteousness unto us, that we are now able to live like him. The way is right only in the sight of the Lord if you're doing it this way. Watch this. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law was within my heart. I don't delight to do my way. Listen, I did it my way for 22 years, and that was a bad way. And even after I got saved, I was back and forth doing it my way and doing it God's way. And I'm not perfect, but the more I do it God's way, the more blessed that I truly am. And even when things aren't going the way that I want them to go, I can still see the blessing. I can still see the sunshine through the rain. Amen. Philippians 2 tells us this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Friend, listen. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now watch this. You can use that as a way to preach the gospel to people that you can't get to the Father, you can't get to heaven except you go through Jesus Christ, not through being a good person, not through Islam, not through being a Hindu or a Buddhist, but only through the redemption of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross. But watch this. But if we're saved, then what good does that verse do us? Because we already know that, amen? We already understand that. So, but if the Bible says that his word not returned void unto us, when we read John 14, 6, what does it have to do with us now that we're saved? Well, the very first phrase Jesus says is, I am the way. Remember who Jesus was talking to. Jesus wasn't talking to lost people in that situation. He was talking to the apostles. They asked him, we don't know which way you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way. It's me. Jesus is saying, you've been with me. Follow what I've done. See how I treated the poor. See how I fed the hungry. See how I had compassion on the masses. See how I prayed to my Father. See how I loved those around me. See how when people pushed through and touched on my garment, I didn't get mad. I just went ahead and said, daughter, thy sins are forgiven, thy be whole. Just see how I healed blind eyes. Just see how I opened deaf ears. Just see how I made the lame to walk. Just see how I raised the dead. And follow me. Do what I do. Follow this way, because then he follows it up with this. Again, talking to saved people. Follow this way because you know it's true, because you've seen it. You've witnessed it. And Christian, let me tell you today, you follow the way because you know it's true. You've seen it. We call it this, a tried and true method. I don't want to follow nobody else but Jesus, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen? Listen, and so when I follow Jesus, I follow that way because I believe it's the truth, then it gives me life. And the Bible says, if you do it your own way, back in that old proverb, it says that leads to death. And so I want to do it the way that God wants to do it, not the way that seems right to me, because my way is a lie and my way leads to death, but his way is the truth and his way leads to life. Listen, these are the steps of a good man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.